Today's show is being brought to you by Bob's Red Mill, believers in good food for all. Learn more at bobsredmill.com/podcast.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Wedding Cake. We're halfway through the second season. For those who might just be listening for the first time, this show, Wedding Cake, is a sweet revenge on my own wedding day years ago when I didn't get to have cake when I eloped in Vegas. That marriage didn't work out, but I still love weddings. I love DJing them. I love writing the ceremonies and officiating them. I love coordinating the surprise marriage proposals around New York City. So go to my website, djcherishthelove.com. That's love spelled L-U-V. Reach out to me if you are planning on popping the question. I can coach you, and together we can make it epic. And the best part of the show, every week we get to eat wedding cake on air. And because I'm not bitter and I love love, I decided I should have my cake every week and eat it too. So if you need a DJ for your wedding or want me to officiate and write your ceremony, hit me up. All right. And check out our previous episodes, Wedding Cake, on iTunes and Stitcher. Check out the first season too. I've had some wonderful wedding professionals on air. They've given lots of great advice over mouthfuls of cake, so be sure to tune in and subscribe on iTunes and find the previous shows on Stitcher and heritageradionetwork.org. So speaking of DJing, I, DJ Cherish the Love, am Whole Foods New York City's official DJ, so come hang and eat and listen to my select tunes every first Tuesday of every month, 6 to 8 p.m., Bryant Park, New York City. Ooh, it was really great the other day. There were just like all kinds of folks from everywhere. It was raining, was kind of nutty, but people were hanging around, staying warm and trying to stay dry. It was like a little monsoon in New York City, so listening to music was definitely a really like lovely escape. So, you know, for me to be there at Whole Foods, it's just so wonderful. Always meeting so many different types of people, people who just like want great food. So I hope to see you at the next Whole Foods DJ night in December, Whole Foods Bryant Park, New York City, upstairs at the Harbor Bar. Follow me on Instagram at DJ Cherish the Love, that's love spelled L-U-V, to find out when. You can also find me as resident DJ at New York City's coolest, hottest new bar, lounge, restaurant in the East Village, West Village, rather, Urban Vegan Kitchen. I'm there Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and Saturdays, and I'll be spinning classics and unsigned indie artists, funk, soul, all of that good stuff. So, and if you want me to send, you know, play your tracks, just send them to me. I'll put it out into the world. You can send that to DJ Cherish the Love, love spelled L-U-V, at gmail.com. So thank you for everyone who has taken a picture of me up in Times Square through October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Whew, that was really surreal. It was awesome. The Living With app has launched, and I highly recommend it for anyone who needs support for their cancer diagnosis. We got you. I got you. So for more info on that, you can follow me on Instagram, like I said, DJ Cherish the Love, spelled L-U-V. So you also might remember my voice from my previous show on Heritage Radio Network called Primary Food. It has not gone away. It still very much lives. So search for it on iTunes and Stitcher, because there are many, many gems about life and creativity and my healing from cancer. And I will be back on the Primary Food. But since it's still the beautiful autumn wedding season, I actually have a wedding in Brooklyn next weekend, I figured we should still keep talking about cake and talking about love. So listeners, listen up. You can call in live at 718-497-2128. Again, the number is 718-497-2128. This show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now, and I'll love you forever. So again, if you're listening right now, you can call in live at 718-497-2128. And today's delicious wedding cake episode is brought to you by Tulu's gluten-free bakery in the East Village, New York City. And we have some vanilla cake here with the vanilla buttercream, using Bob's Red Mill potato tapioca and rice flours. And God, I love this texture. It's so yummy. So as I take a bite of this cake, thank you to Emily at Tulu's Bakery for this. I'd like to invite you to picture the last wedding you were at. Did you love or did you hate the food? Ooh, controversy. Me, I'm going to say I loved it. And we're going to talk about why. And I also spoke to folks who said they hated it. And we're going to find out why. So I've been thinking. I'm pretty sure we all hope for really good food at any wedding we're attending. And there's nothing worse than a dry piece of salmon or some weird stale bread. But that's not even the worst of it all. So a couple recently told me a story about how they had food trucks cater their wedding, which sounds very cool. But they ran out of food before the groom got to eat his meal. Now, that's kind of stinky. Now, food trucks are super trendy and are a controversial way to cater your wedding, since they technically are considered outside of catering and venues do not love them, especially having them, you know, parked outside and whatnot. But if your wedding is outdoors and you aren't doing an indoor seated, you know, type of wedding, well, food trucks could be super fun. Just pray it doesn't rain. So, and if you're doing it out in a park, make sure you get the right paperwork and the right, you know, licenses and get the okay for them to be there. So you can check out this really great article online that I found on food trucks for your weddings at offbeatbride.com/planning-your-food-truck-wedding. Google it, offbeatbride.com, planning your food truck wedding. So people had also told me that what they hated at weddings from the catering was dry food and very boring salads and cake that simply was no good. And here at Wedding Cake, we're not into that. So I asked them what they liked, and they said, well, they liked variety. In fact, they loved variety. So I thought about what would my perfect wedding menu and catering look like. So I've been scouring the web for some inspiration and getting super, super hungry doing so. And I found everything, from lavish to budget-friendly ideas for catering. Now, you know, let's talk lavish first. I mean, hey, right? Like, why let your guests choose from chicken, beef, turkey, or fish when, you know, hey, let them have it all, right? If you've got the money to spend and you want to go all out, go all out. It's your day. Me, personally, I would want to wow my guests with all sorts of exotic, smoky things, colorful foods, many, many courses, like 16 courses. For me, I would want my guests to say wow to the food and wow to the music. So you can just listen to these three delicious dishes on delish.com. You can check out this site I found. It's really fantastic. Delish.com, if you Google the Southwestern recipes, there's a ton of slides there that, you know, just take a look. Everything from, you know, smoky to just super savory. I mean, I personally love a more vegetarian menu for myself, but if you want to cater to your omnivore friends and family, okay, cool. There are all kinds of arguments about whether or not a vegan or a vegetarian should have their guests eat vegan or vegetarian, and I'll leave that all up to you to decide. Since you know your people best, and the last thing you want is a memory of your big day full of complaints about what you served, nobody wants that. So although, you know, trust me, when done right, though, many vegan and vegetarian dishes leave people raving. I've been to many events that were fully vegan or vegetarian, and nobody missed, you know, the dry steak. The weddings I'm officiating and DJing lately have had something very cool in common. Food stations. Yeah, food stations where, you know, folks could get as little or as much as what they want of any part of the meal. So if you didn't want meat, great. Take all the grilled asparagus your heart desires. I think this is a good thing to offer your guest. If you love mashed potatoes with all the, you know, truffle sauce, dive right in. You can get a whole plate of it. Fine. I'm seeing that folks are quite happy being autonomous this way, and I like that idea. I don't, you know, don't think that a buffet would be disorganized, though, because I, as the DJ slash sometimes MC, have been MCing the weddings and announcing when each table can head to the buffet. So it's quite simple. It's quite organized. Don't fear it. It's lovely. And yes, buffet can be quite elegant when done right. But some of us want to do our weddings on the cheap, and there's nothing wrong with that. So if you wanted to cater your wedding on the, quote, cheap, you can check out this site that I found, which was pretty cool. 23 cheap wedding reception food and drink menu ideas on a budget from the website moneycrashers.com. Now check this out, because this page, I suggest money-saving ideas from providing your own appetizers to giving your guests the green light on the BYOB, which I had never thought about. Kind of like bring your own booze and whatnot. I never thought about that, but actually that could be fun. So you can also resort to serving only wine and beer, as liquor does cost more. You can serve virgin drinks. You can have a display cake and serve a sheet cake. Or you can even, you know, serve cupcakes. This can all be done quite stylishly. And with a little creativity, no one needs to know you had a budget to stick to. So that's really a reasonable way to go. And you don't have to think of it like, we didn't have enough money to go all the way. You could do it really, really nicely. Because, you know, the truth is, it is all about the budget. And if you want something elegant, but can't afford to do it for 100 guests, someone taught me recently, you can do a micro wedding. Yeah, I just learned about this phrase. What is a micro wedding? It's a super intimate, limited guest list wedding. What does that mean? So Allison Cossette on Facebook wrote to me that they had a micro wedding. I'm going to have to get her into a future episode to talk about that, because it's kind of brilliant. She said, we had immediate family only, parents, siblings, nieces and nephews. And because the guest list was the closest folks only, they had a micro wedding and held a lunch at the lovely Capitol Grill on Wall Street. So the main advantage of having such an intimate wedding for a few important loved ones was that they could offer a much more elegant menu and stay within that budget. And the guest favorite was lobster, truffle, mac and cheese. And obviously, unless you had a huge budget, you couldn't serve that to 100 people. That's like, you know, quite costly. So check out those great tips on Delish.com. Here's another article I found, 9 tips for the perfect wedding menu. Check those out and go to the website. It's under Delish.com, entertaining wedding menu ideas. Just Google it. You'll find it all. I'd love to read it, but you really just have to look at the pictures. It's really the best. So as I mentioned in last episode, I have picked up this little book, Stuff Every Bride Should Know, by Michelle Park Lizette, published by Quirk Books. Now, this mini book is so wonderful. It is this little pocket-sized food for thought, you know, pick up a copy, buy one for your friends getting married type of book. I mentioned it. It's kind of like the Cliff Notes for brides. It's super great for planning. And as I said, I'll be featuring nuggets from this book for the remainder of this season. And we're going to have the author, Michelle Park, on as well. So subscribe to Wedding Cake and you'll get to hear her wisdom too. So if you do have the book, I have it right here, Stuff Every Bride Should Know. It's a wonderful little guy here. And if you turn to page 43, you'll find this is the section that pertains to this episode, Feeding Your Guests. So we're going to talk about the book next. But first, a lovely little story about, well, love and music. So just this morning, I had taken a Lyft ride to pick up my father. And we were on this ride going from Manhattan to Queens. And the beauty of New York City is you really just never know who you're going to meet. And especially when it comes to Lyft and Uber, you just never know who's driving you. It turns out the driver is a talented singer, songwriter. And once I did mention to him that I was a DJ and worked in radio, he played me a track of his, not yet released. And wow, it was so lovely. Oh, and so perfect for this show. So we're going to hear that track now, and then a word from our sponsor. So it's an honor to debut yet another unreleased track by folks I meet in New York City. This one is called Searching, by singer-songwriter Bert Clark.
Hoping love will find me. Maybe that's just a dream. Yet I keep searching for the right one. If I'm lucky, she'll find me. I know that you're out there. I know that you're out there. The day that I find you, the girl that I want, I'll always remind you, you're the girl that I want. When I find love is when I find you. Till then I'll keep searching. I'ma keep searching. When I find love is when I find you. Just know that I will never give up, never give up. Know that I will never give up. Never give up, I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. I know that you're out there.
The girl that I want.
I know that you're out there.
The girl that I need.
The day that I find you, the girl that I want, I'll always remind you, you're the girl that I want.
When I find love is when I find you. Till then I'll keep searching. I'ma keep searching.
Well, I think the important part is that they're whole, and that is everything. And in my book, to not detract from the quality, from the taste, and certainly the nutrition.
Bob Moore is the founder of Bob's Red Mill, the top quality supplier of grains, flours, and general nutritional goodness from Oregon. He's talking to us about their signature millstones, a very specific way of making whole grain flour. So what's the secret, Bob?
Follow me to the mill room. Well, these are just like the millstones that the Romans used to grind their grains. In fact, these stones came from the same quarry in near Paris, France, where the Romans got their stones. The company that makes our millstones pulls their quartz millstones from the same quarry, and they make mills for us that are just wonderful. They unlock the kernel.
Bob explains how the millstones grind much slower and at cooler temperatures than modern steel rollers. The process keeps the grains cool, preserving the flavor and nutrition.
Look at what they produce. I love how they keep things simple and just right. All the nutrition is there, just like nature intended.
After almost 40 years in the milling business, they're serving up over 400 organic, gluten-free, and whole grain foods right here from the mill in Oregon, sending them off to destinations around the world.
We think we can make a difference by sticking to the traditional way of stone milling. And so, that's what we're doing.
To learn more about Bob's Red Mill and their mission to bring good food for all, visit bobsredmill.com/podcast.
How beautiful was that song? Thank you so much, Bert Clark. That song was called Searching. Really, it belongs in a film. Perfect love song. It's an honor to put it out in the world for the first time. So welcome back to Wedding Cake, to our discussion about feeding those guests at your wedding. What to feed the people. And today's episode, we're discussing, you know, that big day and the food. Today's wedding cake, again, is from Toulouse Gluten-Free Bakery in the East Village. And I'm so psyched to say that I have on the line the author of the little book I'm crushing on, Stuff Every Bride Should Know, published by Quirk Books. The author of this book is on the line with us right now, Michelle Park-Lizette. Hi, Michelle, are you here?
Hi, DJ Cherish the Love.
Hey, I'm so happy to hear your voice over so many emails. You have a voice. Fantastic. Where are you calling in from, by the way? I was curious.
I'm calling in from Cleveland, Ohio, where it's supposed to snow tomorrow.
Oh, no. Well, it's going to get very cold here in New York City as well. It's such a pleasure to be chatting with you right now. So, you know what? I love this book.
Thank you.
I didn't know it was possible to have a crush on a book until I found this in the store. So tell me why you wrote this book called Stuff Every Bride Should Know. Tell me about it.
So I think my journey to writing Stuff Every Bride Should Know began with a blog that I started. And I started the blog, it's called The Bartering Bride. It is still online, although I don't update it much anymore, because I felt really overwhelmed by wedding planning. And so I turned to social media's crowdsourcing ways and asked all kinds of things, such as I did a full 30 days of wedding questions. I bet anyone listening right now who is my Facebook friend and was at that time will remember that I did 30 consecutive days of wedding questions relating to food and flowers and vows. I gathered a lot of information and felt sort of selfish to keep it all to myself. So I started this blog to help others who perhaps found themselves in a place like we did, where we were planning a wedding and realizing at the same time that we had very high expectations and these high hopes, that weddings also come with high budget.
Well, I mean, it's so handy, this book. It really is. Did you use it for yourself as well?
I wish. Actually, I think I addressed that in the beginning, where I describe the book as the book that I wish I would have had. It's chock full of, I really can't take credit for a lot of the insights and the know-how, because I only planned one wedding, but I I was able to bring with me the insights from parents who responded to my asks for information, and vendors who responded, and brides and grooms who'd been there, done that. And so I basically wrote the blog, was found by my publisher, and they actually have a line. I don't know if you know this, DJ Cherish the Love, but they have a line of books called Stuff Every Bride Should Know, Stuff Every Groom Should Know, Stuff Every Mom Should Know. So they had this legacy series, and they asked me if I would write the companion to Stuff Every Groom Should Know, which was then under development as well.
I'm going to have to look for that and crush on it next season. Now, are you saying that things that brides and grooms should know differ? That's very interesting. I'm going to check that out. So where can get this book?
I think it's true in a lot of situations where partners are planning their ceremonies and their receptions that it does tend to, it's not always, one or the other, but one partner tends to take the lead in certain ways and the other might not take the lead in any way or perhaps takes the lead in others.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I think that was the focus of the groom book. A lot of the groom book, if I recall correctly, or at least one chapter talks about how you support your partner through this process.
Well, now that I know that exists, I think people should get both books, obviously. Right?
I concur.
I think that is like a perfect combination. So people can get it obviously online, or are there more places I don't know about? Because I just stumbled on it in a store standing on a shelf. It was like looking at me like, pick me up, you need me.
So these are sold at boutiques, and they are also sold from the comfort of your own home through, you know, retailers such as Amazon. And I actually stumbled upon my own book at a local store and became chipper. Ah. So it's kind of a neat experience.
I'm going to have to use that word chipper. So let's discuss the food at weddings. So since you're the expert in this little, you know, chapter here, and I'm still just the daydreamer, for those who might have a copy on hand, we're on page 43 in the section called Feeding Your Guests. Well, but first, actually, Michelle, I'm going to ask you, what did you feed your guests?
So, initially, this is a little bit of a story. We wanted to do pasta dishes cooked to order for every guest. And so the idea was if you follow a vegan diet, a vegetarian diet, if you're carnivorous, if you're pescatarian, you will be able to find something that you want to create. And the chefs on site would cook it up for you.
Uh-huh.
And there's a part of this chapter where I identify that it's important to listen to your caterer. And that's a lesson I learned firsthand when our caterer said, even with the small, intimate reception that you're planning to have with about 80 people, you're looking at a 40-plus minute wait for the last people to be fed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm scratching my head over here in Cleveland, and I thought, and I honestly wasn't sure. So again, I returned to my Facebook peanut gallery. I asked them if you could have something really customized, piping hot. Would you rather have that, or if it entailed a 40-plus minute wait, potentially, or would you rather just have food that you either pre-selected or a buffet where you got to go up and were fed in a more expeditious way. And it was resounding that people would prefer the latter. They really did not want to wait and delay a party.
Wants to wait. I mean, 40 minutes is a long time. So when I do the buffet calling, it is quite a long time before between the first table that's eating and the last table. And the last table is like sad looking at me, like, when are you calling me?
I've been there.
Yeah, so you know what that's like, right? Oh, yeah. That's, you know, I'm glad we're talking about this because I think that people don't, in their planning, that, you know, it's overwhelming, like you said, right? So from what I'm gathering, people just throw this all into the caterer's hands and say, hey, you know, just decide for me. But I think people should make decisions on their own, right? And kind of think of like, really, what do you plan? Because what if something goes wrong and then you feel badly, like you didn't have a, you know, say, and you just kind of like step back? We don't want that, right?
Exactly. And so we ended up serving a buffet with mashed potatoes and a mashed potato toppings bar.
Yes.
Imagine, you know, gravy and cheddar cheese and bacon bits and scallions. And we ended up doing dishes that were reflective of us. And I'm a big proponent of whatever the detail is that you're planning about your wedding. It's more special and less likely to divulge, you know, just to kind of go off rails toward trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
If you remember that things should be reflective of you and your partner. So the bacon wrapped meatloaf was reflective of my husband's tastes at the time.
Uh-huh.
I adore capers, so we had the wedding tradition of chicken piccata,
uh-huh.
not because it was a wedding tradition, but because I seriously probably could eat those things out of the jar. So, I mean, but we followed the advice of our vendor, because I often will stress to someone who asks me, hey, well, what do you think about this vendor who told me that maybe this is impossible? And I say, you know, this is not their first rodeo.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I think you always have to take what your vendor says and consider, are you being realistic? If you're asking for fish in a buffet, I think most vendors, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, I'm not a caterer, but I got the impression that fish doesn't hold well in a buffet. So
no, it
if
doesn't.
Your caterer says that, perhaps you follow that advice.
Now, you said something very interesting that I really like this, that the food should reflect the two of you. I've gotten the other end of that spectrum where people say it shouldn't reflect us, it just should make the people there happy. But are you saying that it should just be about you guys, or just maybe like a perfect compromise of the two?
Okay, I'm totally going to dish a pun here. I think it should be the perfect marriage. Remember, and this is how I feel about every detail of the wedding. So if you are outdoorsmen and you're outside and you know it's in the woods and it's going to be mosquito laden and mm-hmm. it's going to be hot and sunny, then keep your guests in mind. Perhaps have the wedding favor be sunglasses or little parasols
or bug
some
spray.
Insect repellent.
Yeah.
In the same way with food, we were very cognizant and we actually sent Mad Lib RSVP cards, which asked a number of things of our guests to fill in blanks, but one of those was, tell us what you cannot or won't eat. And
uh-huh.
we had 4 out of approximately 65 guests tell us, well, I'm a pescatarian, or I'm a vegetarian, or I'm a vegan. And so our caterer was able to meet their needs without us expecting or relegating them to eating like green beans and almonds only. So I think it really has to be a perfect marriage. I think if your wedding reflects you but always keeps in mind the comfort of your guests,
yeah,
you're going to have a day that people remember as being very fitting for you two, but also being very fun for them.
Brilliant. That's you know what? I'm going to take that with me forever. It has to be the perfect marriage, and you're right. So what you wrote in the feeding your guests section, I just love it because it's so clear and concise. I love how you start. Take a bite out of menu planning, one step at a time. Yeah, exactly. So tell us about buffet, family style, and stations.
Sure. So I remember when we first met with our first catering option in Cleveland, learning about stations, and it was delightful because, I mean, you can do meat carving stations at a wedding. You could choose to have, ethnic-styled stations, a place where you can get Mexican food, where you can get Asian food. And so that's fun. I've never been to a wedding, actually, where that was done, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But it really attracted us. The thing is that the cost to deliver that at your wedding increases as you need not only the serving staff to take care of, you know, the dishes on the tables, but you're adding chefs and
mm-hmm.
cooks to take care of those stations. So family style, I'm reminded of, I think it's Buca di Beppo
uh-huh,
that
uh-huh.
does family style at its restaurant. And that is where you would have the dishes that you choose to serve. So in our instance, maybe the bacon-wrapped meatloaf and the chicken piccata, and you'd have these platters set forth on the tables, and people could take from it and pass those plates. From my perspective, the real drawback with that is you're not going to have as much variety as you might be able to have with a buffet
mm-hmm.
because you don't want that many dishes on the table, right?
Right.
Crowding everyone's
right.
Space.
The table's pretty crowded already. Isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah, depending on the size of those centerpieces we like to build.
Of course, absolutely, yeah.
And the buffet, of course, I remember navigating the expectations of wedding planning and being, I don't know if schooled is the right verb, but realizing that some people really feel that buffet is really low scale. I personally have never approached buffet in that way. I think if it's staggered succession, you never feel like you're, well, most of us never have to wait too long to get up there. It's not as though you're standing in line wondering why this wasn't better organized. Mm-hmm. I like buffet because I get to choose my amount of food. So if I haven't eaten a whole lot that day and I want to gorge myself, I can.
Right.
If it's a different situation, I don't have to. And I just like the selection. But, you know, the drawback, I would think, is there are sometimes the lines that you wouldn't have if you were doing a served dinner where people receive their plates at approximately the same time.
Right. And I asked people, do they like buffet? People actually love it because it's like they get to choose. You know what I mean? And if you want more, you can go back and get some more.
Exactly.
So people like
hope
that
no one sees you.
And then nobody sees you do that. You're like, oops, I'm just, you know, visiting this area for a sec. And then traditional plated dinners, obviously. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've had good and I've had bad ones. The worst ones are what you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And that's the dry, the dried out meats. And, you know, additionally, with some of the drinking that goes on at weddings, I don't really want to eat like a bird, so I'm just being honest here. But I've also had really delicious ones. I remember a wedding I attended in Florida, shout out you two, and they had these different options, but the filet was remarkably tender. I don't know how they pulled it off, because when I try to do filet mignon at Christmas time, my husband can attest to this, I become a panicked mess because I'm trying to figure out how I get all of the steaks the perfect temperature at the same time.
That's a good question.
And then plate them all and then get them all out. So it's magic when catering works, and especially with the plated, because it's all, you know, kind of one presentation at the same time.
Yeah. No, that's a lot of work. I have passed through the kitchens as that's happening, and I'm like, I don't want to be in this kitchen right now. So all that said, you know, so where is a bride to start? And you're saying, you know, find a caterer. So take us through the process of finding a caterer.
Well, in today's social media laden world, I think it makes a lot of sense, if you're comfortable using social media, to start there, to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Of those that you trust inherently, who are your friends on Facebook or your followers on Twitter. I also think that it makes a lot of sense to look up and scour reviews for caterers. That's what I did. I definitely was interested in what people said about the quality of the food, the quality of the service. And so that's where I started. I want to say that we perused the reviews of and the information for roughly a dozen caterers, many of which, as I mentioned, we were kind of budget constrained, were way out of budget. Like if we had hired them, it would have blown our entire budget for the wedding.
Sure.
But that's not necessarily the case for all listeners, because we had a super tiny budget. So,
so you listen.
I start with research in almost all endeavors, because
so you listen
I feel
to those.
Like the more you know, the better prepared you are to make the right choices with regard to everything from choosing your caterer, choosing your menu, knowing the costs that are built into a price structure, and not having any, you know, kind of wicked surprises that you didn't anticipate.
Nobody needs a surprise like this. And you have it all laid out so nicely. Find a caterer, get recommendations, ask for references, understand the caterer's prices. That was very interesting to read too. Taste. So tell us about the taste testing. So important.
Oh, and the best.
Yeah.
You know what was interesting is the caterer that we use. I was reading, in preparation for this, I was revisiting my blogs from the Bartering Bride website, and I was reminded that this caterer that we actually hired does, I think, one or two annual events where they invite prospective clients, so brides and grooms, to come and taste their most popular dishes. And I actually think that's a really neat approach, maybe not sustainable for all companies. You know, the smaller you are, maybe the less likely you are to do that, because it was free.
Right.
But it is a way to get people in the door and to allow brides and grooms to taste what you actually are serving, and to trust going forward that that is something they could count on for their big day.
Right.
Other caterers we met, they just cooked for us on site. So we identified something that we were interested in serving, and they cooked for us. And it was fun. I enjoyed all of the taste testing, including the cupcakes that we served.
That sounds amazing. That's the most fun part.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And you mentioned that, you know, what's most vital once you've chosen the caterer is listening. So tell us about listening, the importance of that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have so many examples from my wedding where had I not listened, it may not have gone the right way. The example of the pasta station that at first I was convinced was the best way to go about things, and then this caterer with three generations of experience tells me, I don't know that this is the best approach. My suggestion to anyone hearing from a vendor what they don't necessarily want to hear is always ask why. You know, because a vendor who is basing his or her, maybe not, on expertise and experience is going to have an answer for you. And they're going to have an answer for you that will educate you even if you don't end up hiring them. So maybe if I had chosen not to hire the caterer who said this might not be a great idea, if I had hired another caterer, perhaps I would have asked them to have four stations instead of two, thus reducing the time that people would theoretically wait for their pasta.
Right.
But, you know, in all other instances that year, apparently, we had a rustic wedding, so we were going to have these baby's breath bouquets in the centerpieces. And somehow I came to know through my florist that year, that crop it was just smelly. It did not smell good.
Oh, my.
She called me, and I have no idea much about flowers. To be honest with you, I kept that budget really low because, as I mentioned in the book, I really think it's important, especially if you're budget constrained, to prioritize what you care about and then set your budget accordingly. And flowers were just not one of my things.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to do these baby's breath. And my florist calls me, I think, 2 days before and says, we're going to have to substitute out white daisies because that crop is bad. So, again, listening to my vendor and not being stuck to a vision, which, let's be honest, white daisies, that's an upgrade from the baby's breath, so I'm fine with that. But, you know, you have to think about it in terms of, they've been there, they've done that. And a lot of vendors take extra training. And so she was telling me that she learned of this during a florist seminar.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I say we should trust our vendors.
Yeah, I need to get a florist in and talk about some stinky baby's breath.
I'm telling you.
Didn't know that
me.
Exists.
All of the things that you don't know. And then you think about all the categories that go into weddings. You know, the flowers, the music, the uplighting, the dress, the hair, the makeup. And, you know, I think I mentioned this in the book when people set budgets for these things and they're arbitrary about it. They say, well, I've never hired a florist, but I think it should only cost $500. If you haven't done your homework, you're probably not going to ballpark that correctly. So what I suggest in the case of caterers as well is to call three different vendors, and then from those three different vendors, if you share with them your vision, you should be able to ballpark a low figure, a mid figure, and a high figure.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, you know, at least you know going in if you're hiring someone who's really charging a very low price or if you're hiring someone who is on the higher end.
Right, right. That structure is so important. That's why I love this book, because even the table of contents has the structure. It's like, oh my God, this is amazing. So where are we at now? Now that you've chosen your caterer, it's time to draw up your menu. So tell us about that. You have three important points here in the book. Discuss that with us.
Yeah, so I think that, the first one is pick food to fit your venue, theme, or wedding date. I mean, who wouldn't have fun with that? It's November. If you invited me to a November wedding and there was turkey stuffing, I would, it'd be over. You would already beat every wedding I've attended because I can't get enough stuffing throughout the year. You know, so I'm thinking through it and thinking, you know, if there's a theme to be fit and you're comfortable with that, then that makes a lot of sense. I'll remind listeners and, that I think it's important to choose things that reflect you. So if, for example, you guys really enjoy gourmet grilled cheese, then think about serving gourmet grilled cheese. If you really enjoy artisanal salads, then that's something to think about too. It's considering what really reflects and you two as a couple, I think will leave guests leaving talking about, well, that was really fitting of them. Mm. And I think, I think that weddings have really gone this way. They've become very personalized. Right. And so you'll fit right in without feeling this need to compete needlessly with what someone else did the year prior or 5 years prior, or what someone will do in 10 years.
I think personalization is key. I think you're really nailing that for me, and I'm feeling that in my heart. I'm getting the feels.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? So when you think about two people getting married, when I think about the best days, I like to think that they are the ones where I really felt as though that couple's best attributes were on display.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Now, you have a tip here that I think is really interesting. Plan beyond 6 o'clock. What does that mean?
Yeah, so, we served appetizers during the hour-long break between the ceremony and the reception, so that our people wouldn't start. Okay, so I'm just going to tell it. So our people wouldn't start drinking and then be all, need a food really quickly.
Got it.
So we served deviled eggs. I was really disappointed because I did not get a deviled egg.
Oh, no.
The things you remember, right? Is my advice to everyone from a lesson learned is make sure that you have someone steal you a plate of the appetizers.
Mm-hmm.
We served other things, more simplistic appetizers. But, you can think about two different things. One, if you're doing the 6 o'clock meal, if you're doing a dinner reception, having appetizers, I think, is thoughtful, and it can serve a purpose, as I just mentioned. Then also, if you're having a late night party, I suggest, and I would probably cheer if a food truck rolled up on the spot, or if even delivery pizza came in, because I think I'm not the only one who's gone to a wedding, stayed there really late, went back to our hotel room with lots of friends, and then ended up getting Taco Bell.
So, wedding Taco Bell.
Yep.
Oh my
not
goodness!
Proud of it, but I think it was pretty delicious at the time.
Highly relatable.
The other thing that I've seen on the wedding shows that I continue to DVR, my husband can attest to this. Our DVR is still full of Say Yes to the Dress and Four Weddings because I revel in them. You see weddings that don't stick to the 6 o'clock time period. So you can choose to do brunch. If brunch is one of your favorite things to do on the weekends with girlfriends or with your partner, then maybe do a waffles and sausages kind of display and meal.
That's gorgeous. I love that idea. And I'm going to read, since you said you didn't get those deviled eggs, I'm going to read the day of advice. Be sure to eat. Michelle says, you might not feel hungry. Being watched and celebrated by so many people can be surreal. The moments fly by. Absorb the day, but make the time to eat. You need your energy, and drinking on an empty stomach is not a recipe for remembering your big night. So if you're worried it'll be hard to find the time to eat, ask your wedding planner or DJ to ensure that you find it, and they'll know how. That was brilliant. Thank you for that tip. That was really great. And I've done that for brides and grooms, obviously. I just never saw it in writing.
I learned it from our DJ. We hired something new entertainment out of Northeast Ohio. And Anna Janine told us, and it's just to us, you have got to eat.
Yes.
And if I have to, I will keep the badgers away so that you ensure you get something to eat. And I've known many a bride and groom who did not eat during their reception.
Yeah.
And, not everybody drinks, so not everybody didn't remember their wedding or got really, really tipsy. But they did regret not eating what they had spent so much time planning and dishing out to their guests.
That shouldn't be like that. Well,
no.
Thank you so much, Michelle. You are, you're basically my regular guest for the rest of this season because I'll be pulling out from the book and giving you another call here and there. So where can people find you online?
Here, so I'd be happy to hear from people on Twitter. My handle is at M, like Michelle, P, like Paul, _ Lazette, LAZETTE, and that's where I engage with lots of everyone that I know from all of the various things that I'm up to.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Everyone, get this book, Stuff Every Bride Should Know, and get the Stuff Every Groom Should Know, too, if you see it as well. Thank you so much, Michelle.
A appreciate it. Thank you.
Listeners, you know, now that you've got your menu ideas down, you're going to have to design a pretty menu. And that's a whole other episode on its own. So, you know, invites and wedding design. So subscribe to Wedding Cake on Heritage Radio Network and catch that episode. So we're going to close out this episode again, say thank you again to Michelle and thank you to Tulu Bakery. We're closing out this episode with our season 2 theme song, The One by Jordan Knox.
Wedding Cake is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now. This is Reverend and DJ Cherish the Love. Thanks for listening to Wedding Cake. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. And please come back for another slice of wedding cake.
Is it a dream that I'm here with you? I've been wanting this since I could think. That old love's done, it's in my rear view. A love like this makes life make sense. Can we be happy till life's complete? A love that never ceases in time. A love that only true love can find. My heart, my baby, my keys, my everything. My nothing even matters, I'm coming home to my queen. Tears in my eyes as you walk down the aisle. A love that won't hide, a love that makes the room shut up. Stop looking, listen, you must. We make lust run, we God fearing. You make me scream hallelujah, I found ya. Cause I've been praying every night, every day. I go to the Lord like, please bring her in my life, I need her. Not because I'm incomplete, because she's my other half. She keeps me close and don't let.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.